Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, Shasta County. That was Billy Joel, My Life, and I am Kevin Cry, and this is my show. This will be the second-to-last show of the year for me as we are wrapping up the year, but I got a lot to cover today, so I want to jump into the weather. Of course, our weather is always brought to us by my good friend and renowned local meteorologist, Mike Krueger. So here it goes. The clouds have moved in and will make for a cooler day, along with a chance for a few stray showers throughout the day. That said, the main storm will push through tonight into Monday, with another one right behind it for Tuesday. We'll keep a chance for rain on Wednesday before drying out Thursday and Friday. Snow levels will be high with these storms and will be mainly above 6,000 feet. Once all is said and done, the valley could see upwards of 2 inches of rain, give or take. Although Christmas is still over a week away, as it stands now, the long-range forecast models are hinting at the potential for rain. Keep checking in with weathernorcal.com and meteorologist Mike Krueger through the week as we inch closer to Christmas. And again, Mike didn't write this part, but he is the best there is, the best there was, the best that ever will be for weather in not just our area, but ever, because Mike is one of the best human beings on the planet when it comes to just loving his community. So, Mr. Krueger, thank you so much. All right. Well, one thing about coming back to – well, let me back up a little bit when I talk about today. Today is my 24th wedding anniversary to my bride, Sarah, who is in most definitely probably still sleeping. So happy anniversary, Sarah. And December 17th of 1999, and then fast forward to today, it has been one absolute wild ride. Next year will be 25 years. We're kind of already talking about what we want to do for our 25th anniversary. And I'm not sure of many of you. Sometimes, you know, you're in the middle of breakfast, and you're talking about what you're going to have for dinner later. And that's what this kind of felt like sometimes when we're talking about what we want to do next year, because obviously, you always want to plan, but there are so many things happening in life that it's like sometimes hard to think a year out. But that's the one great thing about being in government. There's a lot of things we do get to actually think ahead, and we're going to cover all that. So we're going to really go pretty deep into this week's agenda as we wrap up the rest of the year. But before I jump into that, I'm going to share a little bit about yesterday, because when I was talking about the weather, I was in Phoenix yesterday. I actually left Redding at 1:45 in the morning. Actually, I met a person I traveled with yesterday down at the factory stores in Anderson. We met at 1:45 in the morning, drove to Sacramento, caught a flight, which was, I think, the first flight to Phoenix anyway. It was a 5:20 flight. Flew to Phoenix, was there all day, and then when I was coming back, somebody, you know, asked where I was headed back to, and I said Sacramento. I said, oh, California is awesome. And I said, yeah, Shasta County. And they said, oh, man. They said, Shasta County. They said, what's that like? So we talked a little bit about it. But it was funny because I said, yeah, it's probably going to rain this week, I think, so I'm not looking forward to that. And then the guy in Phoenix, of course, says he thinks it's rained like 4 times, he thinks, in the last year that he can remember. So I guess we should be grateful for the rain, because there's some places that get very, very little. So with that, yesterday I was in Phoenix. I went to what's called AmeriFest yesterday, and that's something that I paid for with my own money. I went, and I did about 5 or 6 live interviews, did a couple interviews that were going to be podcasts or written articles. But one thing that I really enjoyed about yesterday, and I went to the California Republican GOP conference in Orange County earlier, I think it was in October, and it's not very often. I know, you know, when you're in school, you go to book fairs, or you go to, you know, events where you get, you know, kids or young people from all different walks of life, but they're all there for, like, you know, like I said, it's a book fair or a literary festival, or I don't want to say a concert or something like that, but something that's where you don't maybe normally get to be around a lot of people that are really, really like-minded from a lot of different areas. And that's what AmeriFest was. yesterday. There was a lot of people that really just love this country, love our Constitution, love freedom. And there was a new word that, you know, a lot of us were talking about. Because we hear freedom and we hear liberty and we hear those words thrown around a lot. But one of the things that was a word that kind of came up a few different times in some conversations I was having was justice. And it's interesting because when you start thinking about justice, I mean, everybody's, you know, it's a word like freedom and liberty. Those are thrown out so often, but you know, you don't hear many people talk about wanting justice and what is justice. And as we were having some of these conversations, there's so many things I think now, and not just in our country or in our society, but that just seem so unjust. And we're not even talking about necessarily just the law. Like when we're talking about serving like an underserved population, like people that are homeless or about to become homeless, and you see the unjust nature of some of the things that happen to some of these people falling through the cracks of society, where there are programs and there is funding available for some things, but because of somebody's oversight or because of maybe things outside of a person's control, they don't ultimately get what they need, and that feels very unjust. And as we talked about justice, I think that's one thing that people really, really are wanting more of. They just want to know if they do the right thing and they carry themselves accordingly to the way we're supposed to act by the golden rule, things should work out for them. And I know we're not entitled to anything. We're promised nothing in this life. But you know, I would love to have some of you message me what you think the word justice means to you, or maybe even an example of something that you see that just seems unjust in the community, because I want to have a deeper conversation on it later. And today I will take calls, by the way. I know normally I don't take calls, but I will take calls today. And that number, if you do want to call in, is 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. And if you're listening on 96.5 FM, don't forget, if it glitches or it goes in and out, you could always switch over to 1460 AM, or you could listen online live at kcnr1460.com. And, of course, my shows are always taped. I guess that's a really 80s way of saying it, taped. They're recorded. How about that? They're recorded, and then I put them on my actual Vote Kevin Cry website, so you can go there to get them. So with all that said, I'm going to jump in. We're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming agenda. This will be the last board meeting for the 2023 Shasta County Board of Supervisors that meets this Tuesday, December 19th at 9 a.m. And I'm going to go through this pretty deep. I'm even going to start with who's doing our invocation, which is Mike Mangus. So Mike Mangus is doing our invocation on Tuesday, which I thought that was pretty cool because obviously Mike is at Channel 7, been there, I think, for he would probably say 70 years. I know it hasn't been that long, but it'll be neat to hear Mike give the invocation. So we're going to skip down to R2, and we're going to get a presentation from Resource Management regarding the results of the Palo Cedro Planning Strategy Survey and consider providing direction to staff. Now, if you remember, this is something that's been going on well before mine and Supervisor Kellstrom's time here on the board. We've had, I don't know, I want to say at least two or three agenda items about it. And one of the last ones we did have, I made the motion that Supervisors Rickert and Kellstrom, because it touches their districts, mostly Supervisor Rickert's district, but a little bit there on Deschutes of Supervisor Kellstrom's, that they should go out and just hold a public forum and just do an informal vote and let the people decide, because I absolutely always am going to land on local control and letting the people vote on what they want and let the results be what they may. And I wasn't overly excited about the way the survey was put together, but at the end of the day, when I made the motion, said, hey, I'm going to go with the results of whatever that is. So no matter how fair or unfair or whatever people thought it was, there was plenty of time, plenty of ability to get out and, you know, get your group out there, get your side to the place where you could cast your vote and see the direction. So right now it looks like I know Paul Hellman and Adam Fiesler from Resource Management are going to be putting together you know, what they think is the next steps for the zoning plan and what that looks like to have a path forward for Palo Cedro. So that's R2. R3, we have an update on the at-home. and endorse the steering committee strategic plan. So when we say endorse, there's a vote. It's really a vote that basically just says, hey, this is what, and let me back up. The at-home program was a program that started out of CSAC, which is the California State Association of Counties. And they said, hey, we need to have a better organized plan across the state for cities and counties, various jurisdictions, to all get on the same page of how we're going to combat homelessness for people that are homeless or that are possibly going to be homeless if certain steps aren't taken. So I wasn't against it. I wound up being selected to be on the committee to represent the Board of Supervisors along with Chair Jones, but it was something that I realized it was going to be really, really difficult to get a lot of elected officials from various jurisdictions to get on the same page and come up with what they believe or we would believe is the right path. But the other apprehension I had originally was because this was being driven by the largest cities in the state. So it was really coming out of L.A., San Francisco, San Diego, Fresno, et cetera. And, of course, all those places just do a really bang-up job with homelessness and illegal camping on their streets, et cetera. And I'm rolling my eyes. You can't see that. But so I said, okay, well, we'll see where this goes. Well, I will say over the last 7 months, I've been pleasantly surprised at some of the conversations locally that we've been able to have, because whether CSAC continues this at-home program or not, at the end of the day, as elected officials, I think we've now set a bar or we've set a benchmark to say, hey, we can get two people from the city of Shasta Lake, two people from the city of Anderson, two people from the city of Redding, two people from the Board of Supervisors. And as well, we had a representative from the tribe, because let's not forget the tribe isn't just a casino or a philanthropic group. The tribe is a government. So they had a representative, and Katie was there. So she's awesome. So there was the nine of us, as well as the city managers from City of Anderson, Redding, and Shasta Lake, as well as our HHSA director, Laura Birch, who, again, you know, she oversees a $300-plus million budget that deals with a lot of these people groups that make up what we're trying to serve in the at-home program. So with that, we're going to bringing forth what the steering committee, what our group came up with and said, this is the path forward for the county. Now, keep in mind, at the end of the day, a lot of this is going to come down to the city of Redding, and here's why. There's an $8.3 million encampment grant that the city of Redding will be dispersing those funds. So ultimately, even though we did all of this work, it's still going to come down for these action items that we feel are the objectives that coming out of the steering committee. We feel the most important thing out of this is really going to be at the city of Redding's, you know, at their feet to make the decision. And what this group came up with, and we had subcommittees, and the subcommittees were broken down even to more stakeholders, nonprofits, law enforcement of, you know, CERT from the city of Redding, and then all different other, not just jurisdictions, but other teams that are working on, whether it be park rangers or investigators with the sheriff's office, et cetera, of what they're seeing on the streets and what could happen, and what the, not just consensus, the overwhelming consensus, the agreed, what has to happen is we have to have, and again, it hasn't been formally named, but there needs to be a resource hub. Some have called it a navigation center, but there needs to be one location where it's a one-stop shop to do all the things a person needs to do to cut the bureaucracy way down to get the help they need. Because right now, I think once a year at the Civic, they do a big event where they put all different types of entities and resources available so people can come and get help. But it's like once a year, which makes like absolutely no sense. And what that reminds me of is it reminds me of, like all the people that go to the gym January 1st through January 5th, and then they don't go again. And they get into summer and think, oh, man, I blew it. This next year I'm going to get in shape. And then they wait till January. I mean, it's crazy. And so what I think with this resource center is if we have a place where people can go every single day that they would be open, where they can get anything from identification, because there's a lot of stop gaps. People don't have driver's license or even just an ID of any kind. They don't have their social security number or their social security card. They don't have a birth certificate. So it's really hard to get things done when you don't have those simple things. And if it's spread all out and you have to go to DMV and all these other places, it becomes problematic and people just give up. So I think this resource center is going to be a place, or a day center, where that's going to be a big, big step forward. And right now, the city of Redding And this was actually not just an idea, but proved who brought it to the table was Barry Tippin, the city manager of Reading, said, hey, actually, the city of Reading can buy a building and give it to somebody. So we all believe that there's really one building in Shasta County that's over by the Mission that would be the best place. A lot of places try to be everything to everyone, so they may have an overnight program and then a day program. But what we've seen across the state – and when I say we, there's two or three of us, I'd say, that have gone and visited other ones, but have really, really gone very deep in understanding where some of the pitfalls in other counties or cities are. And this building in particular, across from the Mission, it serves a lot of things because it's very close to transit. It's in downtown. It's off the beaten path, but close enough that it will be easily accessible. It's not necessarily in somebody's backyard, so that way the whole NIMBY thing of where people say, hey, it's a great idea, but I don't want it in my backyard. I think that's averted. So people are always going to say, well, we'd like to have a building with this, this, and this. Well, we all would. We'd all like to have that perfect location, that perfect building that's outfitted exactly how we'd want it. But that's why we don't have anything, is too often I think people in these positions have had opportunities to pull the trigger, but it's just not, you know, perfect. And it's like the whole good to great conversation. So many people just are so stuck on the, you know, they're not seeing the forest of the trees. We have to get this location. We have to get it up and going, and we can always improve upon it later. But I think time is of the essence. So that's our three. At home, we're all going to, the elected officials are going to go to each other's meetings. I know City of Anderson doesn't have their meeting until January, but City of Shasta Lake and City of Reading both have meetings. So Chair Jones and myself are going to, I think, Reading and then Shasta Lake, respectively. I think some of the individuals from Shasta Lake are going down to Anderson. I know last I spoke with her, Tanessa Audette, who's the current mayor at the City of Reading, she's going to come to ours. And it's really just rallying support so people know that, you know, all the electeds have come up with this five objective plan. And again, we'll see where it goes. Okay, so that was R3. R4, and you'll see on the agenda with the presentations, we have a something sponsored by Supervisor Garmin. I believe that's from CSAC, and it's Golden State Finance Authority. That's a program that they're going to have, and there's going to be a presentation on that. R5, John Ando, he's the general manager of the City of Reading. He's going to give us a presentation on the bus situation. And as it relates to, I sit on CERTA, which is Shasta Regional Transportation Agency, and they, the state is really, really pushing, obviously, hydrogen or other forms of fuel sources, getting away from everything that works and is financially successful and sustainable for people, especially up here in Northern California. So they want to go to green energy with buses and charging stations. So nothing like taking a trip from, you know, Reading to Burnie and stopping to charge for an hour or whatever. So we're going to have that presentation. I'm not obviously, as you can tell, a big fan of what the state's doing or trying to make us do. And we could go into that more, but that's R5. So you know what? I realized I just blew through our first break. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to get through the consent calendar pretty quick. There's two or three items I do want to pull off of that and discuss. But again, if you want to call in, you have some thoughts. Still, I did get a couple messages. I would like to hear from some of you about like what justice means to you. Like, what does the word justice mean, and how do you think that? How do you feel about justice in Shasta County? Are people groups getting justice? And I want to have that dialogue, so call in or shoot me a text or an email. That number to call in, 530-605-4567, and with that, we will be right back.
Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you go down in history.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
All right, we are back. Frosty the Snowman. Christina came in and asked if I'd like to do some Christmas music. She said, what were my favorite? I said, well, definitely, it has to be Silent Night, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and Frosty the Snowman. So I don't think I've ever heard, other than the cartoons, jingles, the same one, you know, 2 or 3 times in a row, because I think when you look at Frosty the Snowman or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, there's probably been 100 different remakes of those. I'm just glad it wasn't Mariah Carey Christmas songs. So thank you, Christina. How are you doing, by the way, Christina?
I'm doing wonderful, getting ready to the Christmas.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's my first normally American Christmas because I finally adapt myself in America. So I will have my first Christmas tree.
Oh, that's
really
awesome.
Really cool. And then my first dinner Christmas evening, so I'm excited.
Very cool. Yeah, I think, that would be something we could spend a whole hour talking about just the differences of, your Christmas in Ukraine versus here in America. But, one of the things I will say about Christmas is, like, I'm fortunate, like many of us, that to live here in the U.S., but one thing I'll say that starts to bother me about Christmas is, I'm just getting like this old crotchety sense to me, but everything just keeps getting more commercialized. And that kind of drives me nuts and maybe that's part of just being in politics. I realize there's just so many things and so many people that need so much help. And when we're talking about Christmas presents and just running all around, it's like I just love to take a pause and just I'm just so thankful for my family, so thankful I get to spend spend my Christmas with my family, because I know there's so many people that don't. So all right, we're gonna pick back up with our consent calendar. One of the first items, C3, and again, there's a lot of things obvious on the consent calendar that are they're very important, they're very necessary to keep the county moving along. I just selected a few that I think I would assume people will ask me questions about or are interested in. But it says approve the 2024 chairman's appointments and liaison assignments. So again, this is my first radio show since I have been selected or elected by the board to be the chair next year. So I was able to sit down with staff, with different supervisors, not necessarily sitting down with all of them, but emailing with them, or at least a phone call, and kind of hearing where their hearts are, what they want, what they're interested in. And so, like anything, you know, you have to make tough decisions, and not everybody's always excited, but I think I was definitely able to meet everybody's needs to a point of something that they're interested in or they want to be on, because we have a lot of experience in a lot of different areas with the people on the board. So, again, this is consent, so this should, I would think, all of these items, by and large, would just go through. But we'll see. So, and actually, we have our first caller. It looks like, is it Stevie from Siskiyou? Is that correct, Steve? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you.
You're from Siskiyou County?
I am. Yeah, I listen a lot to your radio show and Terry and Mark Kent and I'm very, very active up here. I was down there last night for the Dr. Frank town hall or whatever you want to call it, but sadly it was, you know, for the amount of people there are in Shasta County, there was, I'm not sure, 100, 150 people there. It was very important about the voter fraud going on, which is the injustice. But I'm kind of, I agree with most of the policies that you talk about on your show, and I'm very grateful that you are a supervisor down there helping us fight the injustice in California. But the injustice is the welfare system, and you're talking this morning about adding to it once again, and that is just not going to fix it. I'm 73 years old. I was alive when welfare started. I witnessed people starting to live more in their apartments all day long, hearing radios and TVs as I'm cleaning swimming pools back in the day and down in Southern California, where those apartments were empty, nobody home, everybody working, and then all of a sudden I hear TVs and radios going during the day as I'm cleaning swimming pools and all these apartment buildings and stuff, and that's where welfare, you know, started.
Yeah, you know what, I'm not going to disagree with you to
okay,
a point.
Okay, well, let me just finish my point, because
okay.
It really is not between me and you and arguing or discussing. I really try to just get the point out to the people. And that's what, you know, we do is try to get every single person we come in contact with the knowledge that, you know, this system is not working, and we have to stand up and fight back. But after 50 years of welfare, where has it gotten? Now we have homeless all over the place. So adding more money, more policies, more places for them to go and stuff, versus just sending it back to the communist movement that wants to, you know, propagate this kind of life and living. You know, send it back to them and, you know, teach people the God-given law of the land, which is to each his own. We take care of ourselves. Only the strong survive. And, yes, we are community-minded. But that's a long ways from welfare.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, and I appreciate you calling in. And no, thank you.
Okay,
thank you, and thank you for listening. So he made some great points. And here's what I will say. When I started, and I will pick back up in the consent counter in a second. But one thing, when I started running, and again, I will be the first to admit and have in terms of being ignorant of some of the different ways that money is funneled from the state or from the federal government. And from the state, and we send our money down, and then they send it back. But one of the things I really ran on was, you know, a lot of these individuals that were homeless or on the streets needed to be in jail, because I was under the assumption that most were breaking the law. And here's what I'd always say. If you're going to break the law, you need to be in jail, right? But I would boil it even down farther to say if you want to illegally camp, and you want to do it here, and you want to break the law, then you're going to be in jail, because you can always move. You can move and go do that somewhere else. But if you need help, we're going to get you that help. So if you need it, we're going to help you get it. If you don't want it, that's fine. But you can't just legally camp, break the law here, because if you do all that here, you need to be in jail. Well, what I realized was so much was broken in the system of people actually needing help. And it's not like every single person on the street is a criminal. Now, you've heard as low as, you know, 5 or 10%, and up as high as 50%. And I'm talking about experts that do what's called the pit count, or the point in time count. And it's everywhere in between. What I will say, and I'm not going to talk about it really, really at length here, but I did put a video on my Vote Kevin Cry page last week about a gentleman that I met that I was down at the mission with at 9-something at night, missing yet again another event of my kids, trying to help somebody get in, and they just flat out lied to me. The reason they weren't at the mission anymore, they weren't allowed to be there, was because they were kicked out for drugs. And they just said they were, it's a 30-day in, 30-day out policy. But when it comes to the welfare system and some of the things we've set up, that's why I want to streamline so much with this at-home program, is I definitely recognize the big gaps in the bureaucracy of people that actually need to get help, and we have to get them that help. But we can definitely curtail that, and I'm not for handouts, and I actually don't want to give money to a bunch of nonprofits who are doing mediocre work. I want to give a lot of money that we can funnel to the people that are doing great work, that there's sustainable, or that there's outcomes that you can quantify, and you can say, hey, we're paying this, we're getting that. And there's so few metrics. There's so few metrics. And just because people say, oh, we care, or, oh, we do great work, or, you know, it's like, yeah, everybody cares. But we, you know, in the private sector, you get paid for done. You get paid for finished. You get paid for competence. And so often in the nonprofit world and the welfare system, we just funnel the money out there. So Steve, I couldn't agree with you more in terms of people taking advantage of the system. But at the same time, it is important that the people group out there that really are sick or really are disabled or really are down on their luck, we got to make it easier to get them help. So moving on to the consent calendar, I'm going to skip down to C10. There is an approved agreement with the Community Connections Psychological Associates. There's and it's about suicide prevention training. One of the things is I was making a couple phone calls, not just so much just about that, but hearing about the suicide rates in Shasta County, or just in general, but in Shasta County, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bleak. And, of course, this time of year, a lot of those go up because people can be, you know, very depressed, very sad, lack of family, lack of opportunity. So suicide rates tend to actually start to spike around holidays, which is really sad. So that's on the consent. If you want to look at the staff report, you can read more about that. C13 and C15, you'll see my favorite word in there, which is retroactive. We're approving some retroactive amendments. I hate that. You know, one of the things that I would say is one of my pet peeves would be so awesome to see eventually the word retroactive removed almost entirely from our agenda packets, because that means we're ahead of things. And there's a lot of things that have to happen to do that. And I've had talks with staff, but retroactive just scares me. Okay, well, we have another caller. This is Andrew from Bernie. Andrew, are you there?
Yeah, good morning. Hey, you know, I think the crux, and it's a justice issue, really, truly is, and it's an injustice against the voting population. It would have to be the manipulation of the vote. You know, we've got rid of the Dominion voting machines and so on. And the reason I suggest this is because our vote hasn't counted for many, many years. I remember the Hanging Chad incident and the Bush-Gore debacle in Florida. And when they said they're going to go to the Dominion voting machine, or voting machines, if you will, I think they're all corrupt, frankly. We've lost, you know, our hand is not on the tiller. It's on those, was it Stone who said, those who, doesn't matter who votes, those who count the votes. So that's what I really think the problem is in the nation, in our state, in our county, for goodness sakes, is because we can't have an honest vote. I really feel that, and a lot of issues would not be present if the people's vote was counted. Now, propositions, for instance, Proposition 47, Kamala Harris was then Attorney General of the California, and the Attorney General gets to name the propositions. Proposition 47, if you don't recall, made felonies misdemeanors. Yeah. And released thousands and thousands onto our streets. And she named that the Safe Schools and Neighborhood Act. Along with that, you know, misrepresentation and the fact that people are uneducated when they vote and don't actually read the proposition. So that sounds lovely. Let's have that.
So I'm gonna give you about 15 more seconds. But this is good stuff, Andrew. This is good stuff. I agree.
Firearms, it's no longer a felony to steal a firearm unless it reaches the threshold of $950. We can go back into Reagan when he closed the mental hospitals. He was forced to because of lawyers, as Michael Savage would say. They have rights. Well, if they can't take care of themselves, they should not be on the street. And that's my comment. Well, thank you.
Andrew, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for listening from Bernie. I agree. I mean, Prop 47, AB 109. I mean, and this is why, and I'm going to turn this just really quick to a recall conversation. This is one of the many reasons I'm obviously with the recall. It's an absolute, everyone should be voting no, because the last thing we want is Gavin Newsom, who is obviously the kingpin of California, doing anything, reaching into anywhere, into Shasta County, and getting to appoint that next supervisor. Because what we have to do is we have to continue to move Shasta County in a very, 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 I'm just going to say, it's a nonpartisan office. So I don't want to say keep pushing it towards conservatism of what I truly believe Shasta County really is. but it's really not even so much just conservatism. It's just common sense. We can't continue to be this stepping stone and continue to not push back on things like AB 205, AB 969, and all of these just oppressive things that come from the state, because they're just destroying the fabric of our communities, and they're passing legislation to do some of it. I mean, when I think about people getting to steal $949 and just walking out, and then the businesses and the corporations are saying just let them go, and that's just crazy to me. So all right, so moving on into the and so that those were really the only major issues in the consent calendar that I was going to touch on. I'm going to move to R7. R7 is about ARPA, and we're going to get a presentation from the CAO's office about projects, whether that's about the jail or about other opportunities to reallocate some of the funding, because the time is coming where all the ARPA funding has to be earmarked for where it's going. R8 is approving the proposed 2024 Board of Supervisors meeting calendar. So, again, that's one of the honors I had being chair next year. I got to set the calendar. And there's going to be some groans, and then depends, I guess, who the groaning might be from. But one of the things in my campaign that I debated with my opponent was about the need to have – I mean, I absolutely do not like having meetings for the sake of meetings, but – you're not going to find any organization as a leadership team that doesn't meet at least weekly. And when you look at a $600 million budget, I think it's crazy to think, because let me finish that thought. I think it's crazy to meet every other week. So what we did, or what I did, is we're going to meet essentially every single week that's a non-holiday, and a couple exceptions because there's committees across the state. A lot of us as supervisors sit on RCRC or CSAC or different things like that, where we go. Now, with that, because the other thing is like special meetings. We had special meetings this year because work needed to get done. So Chair Jones calls a special meeting. And I think that's completely appropriate. But there was some pushback, some groaning, even from supervisors about that. And to me, you know, we signed up to do the work 365 days a year. And if there's meetings, there's meetings. I mean, we all have to sacrifice that kind of stuff. So what Stephanie Blankenship, the clerk of the board, as well as CEO Rickert, Dave Rickert, our CEO, we had discussed is if there isn't enough items for a specific meeting, then that meeting can get canceled. And we did that, I think, at least once. We did it for a night meeting, I remember, this year, where there was only one or two agenda items, so we just scrapped it and rescheduled it and pushed it. And the other thing that CEO Rickert and so did other analysts and third-floor staff appreciated about the meeting schedule as we have laid out, right now, if there's one of those instances where a department head is trying to get something completed, and if they don't get it completed then, it may be another 2-3 weeks or even more, depending on their schedule, when they can get it brought back. So by doing it this way, if they miss it for 1 week, they can bring it back the next week, and then we just keep rolling forward. And I think that makes it a lot more conducive to doing quality work, having a schedule set out, and then so that'll be, I mean, again, that has to be voted on and approved. There might be discussion, there might not, but it's R8, and that'll be on the agenda as well. It looks like we are getting another call in, so before I jump into the next item, I'm going to see who Christina has for us. Who is it, Christina?
We have Jimmy on the line.
Jim?
Jimmy.
Jimmy, and where's Jimmy from?
Let's ask him.
Okay, Jimmy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm from Reading.
Oh, from Reading, finally. We have one from Reading. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I know you've caught a lot of flack, and I'm going to try to make this quick. I know you've caught a lot of flack for questioning the Dominion voting system, and I just want to give you kudos, because the first time I ever questioned this electronic voting system, what people don't remember was when Hillary Clinton, on a Super Tuesday back in, I think it was 2015, when she was running against, Bernie Sanders and such, I remember the newscaster saying, oh, we're using a new electronic voting system. And I thought, oh, that's okay, great. Well, if you remember, it took a couple weeks to find out who won that race. And I remember thinking, wait a minute, they're supposed to have that counted that evening like they've done in decades past, right?
Yeah.
So that was my first clue. And I just want to remind people out there again about mail-in voting. The first person to warn against that was Abraham Lincoln. Look it up, because back in the Civil War, some people were caught, Democrats, were caught with illicit ballots, a bunch of them, and they were punished pretty severely. You can go look that up, too. I'm not going to tell you what happened to them, but, you know, and then one more thing was the Kerry Lake episode in Maricopa County, where they had 19 and a half inch font for the ballot. So when they stuck them in the machine, they were supposed to be 20 inch font, so they weren't lining up. And the election worker said, "Oh, we'll just take your ballot and shove it in this box, and we'll count it later." So if you don't think that's suspect, then I think there's something wrong with whoever doesn't think that's suspect.
All right. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate that.
Okay, bud. Bye.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing I'll say with, and again, you know, Dominion, and that's one of the things yesterday when I was in Arizona. You know, I did interviews with Breitbart. I did it with America Real News or Real Voices. I did, just a bunch. I know I have Epoch Times coming. But one of the things is, you know, we would talk about the Dominion or just voting machines in general, election integrity. Not every single one, but for me, it started as a financial thing. I mean, we save a ton of money by eliminating a lease contract and purchase equipment. That's where it started. And then when you look at the vitriol that came after it, it still perplexes me why people can't just have a rational conversation about getting everybody on the same page and feeling good that their vote counts. And but anyway, here nor there. So thank you for calling in, Jimmy. I appreciate that. The next thing moving down on R10 is a salary resolution, and this one is near and dear to me. We're approving an agreement, an at-will employment agreement, with our new county council, Joseph Lamour. And and I'll say it now, and it'll come up, I'm sure, this weekend, but I recruited him. He is currently the head county council in another county. But when I heard that a person of his caliber, his intellect, his ability, his standing in the state, when you talk to other councils or department heads, is impeccable. I mean, I'm sure there was the largest groan, boo, and hiss when they found out he was leaving. But he's a graduate of Enterprise High School. He is a hometown Shasta County guy working in another county. And one of the things that my detractors love to say is that we're driving all the talent away, or we're down so many employees, and it's doom and gloom. And it's actually the exact opposite. But that's what's true. We've come to expect that from the left. They just hurl lies. They hurl untruths, because the truth is, we're having more and more great constitutional freedom and justice loving people coming forth wanting to work in Shasta County because the direction we're going. And I will say, the county council position, as it's been by and large, it is well below the norm of what a county our size should expect to attract somebody of Mr. Lamour's pedigree. I'll just say it like that. He is going to take our county council's office, which, again, I'm thankful for Matt McComber and Gretchen Sturr, who stepped in an interim role and did so while the county had time to assess its next steps. But this is a great day, and this is a great, great thing, because I had mentioned in one of the interviews, without saying any names, Shasta County became better that day. And the minute he's seated, it's going to get even that much better. But you also look, and I'm going to skip down to, I'll skip over R11. I'll come back to it. And then I'm going to go to R12. But I'll tell you what, we're going to take our last, Christina, do we have time for one more break? No? Okay, so we're just going to keep going. I am really bad. I should probably – there probably needs – this flashing light, Christina, probably needs to happen when you want me to go to a break. But that's okay because it's my show, and I don't have any paid sponsors. I paid for it myself, so no sponsors are getting cheated when it comes to advertising dollars. So R12, we're looking at approving a classification specification for a new position in Health and Human Services, which is getting a new attorney – or getting attorney – that will be in-house at HHSA. This is something that happens in other counties. It's not uncommon, but there is a major logjam and backlog of contracts that need approval at the in the HHSA department. And one of the things Joe had spoken about, and this is music to my ears, again, as a private citizen, he talked about, hey, if we got to work 50, 60, 70, 80 hours, whatever it takes, he goes, we're going to get caught up. And this department's going to be a machine, and we're going to get stuff out, not just for HHSA, but for all departments, because I do understand that we're down an attorney or two, but I will say many counties are down an attorney or two. And this is the one thing where I always want to be very, very fair to staff, and I don't get a chance to sit and talk with all the staff across the county, and so they don't get to hear my heart and what it is. But and my staff will tell you, my private staff, whether it be, well, I guess I'll say their names, it doesn't matter, their first names, whether it be Amy, Amber, Jess, Brittany, Talon, doesn't matter. Any of my executive staff, there's those weekends where we say, hey, everybody, you know, need you in the office on Sunday afternoon after church. We got stuff to do. And it's never exciting, but things just have to get done. But that's why in private enterprise, it's a sink or swim kind of thing. In government, you know, people's checks are still going to get written and people's checks still clear. And sometimes whether you get the work done or not. And Joe has a very, we're going to get it done attitude. And I love that. And I think that leadership is going to be great. It's going to be great for all of our people in our county with the services they're going to receive and how fast. And it's going to be a huge shot in the arm to our department heads that are just needing some help. And again, that is not to say anything disparaging about our current county council's office. I just think a lot of times, you know, you had Cruz, who was in there for quite some time and retired, and then Ross came in and came out, and that's a story and a show for another day for sure. And that will be a story I will tell someday. But anyway, so jumping to R11. An approved amendment to the at-will employment agreement with Dr. Moo, who's our new health officer. And Supervisor Jones brought that up, so you can look in the staff report about that. That is making sure, because like Dr. Moo has to, over time, shut his practice down. And one thing is, when you ask someone to partner or make a commitment to you, it's important that you make that to them as well. And, you know, with CEO Rickert, the minute I brought forth how I felt very strongly about protecting our CEO, making sure, because, again, I went out and poached another county's head county council, you know, in, quote, unquote, I'm doing the air quotes, in an environment where people say all the talent is leaving. Well, I so disagree. What we're doing is we're attracting the right talent, and time will prove all this out because you know, but I also know, you know, when you say, let's say in sports, you say, hey, we're going to be, let's say basketball. We think the most important thing is to take really close in shots and, you know, and get wide open threes. If that's what you think the key to victory is, then what you want to do is I would think defensively, you would then say we can't give wide open threes or really close in, you know, layups. So we got to protect that defensively because that's what we want offensively. Well, when I'm out recruiting talent from other counties, I start to look at my own county and our own executives and think, okay, I'm making sure that we go out and get the best talent for here in Shasta County, but is anybody trying to steal the talent we have? So I start looking at contracts and start looking at packages and what other counties are doing or cities are doing for their top employees. And when I went down to CSAC, which was, you know, in October, and I see our county CEO engaging with other counties and other board of supervisors, jokingly I go over and say, hey, what are you doing? Get out of here. And we, you know, we laugh and make jokes, but then I really did. I started to think about, man, I want to make sure that our people know that they have a home here in Shasta County to finish the work that this board majority has started. So it's important that we protect our talent and we make the same commitment to them that they're making to us. So with Dr. Mu, he's shutting down a practice of 20 or 30 years, essentially, to work with the people of Shasta County. So that's a huge commitment we're asking. So it's important that we there in turn show him that same commitment that we want him here for a long time leading the health efforts. So that's R11, because I skipped over R12. When you go down to the end with all the closed session stuff, it says R13, 14, 15, conference with legal counsel, existing litigation, and you'll see some of those same things coming up over and over, and you see 14 and 15 as well. There's a performance evaluation. That has to happen every year on R14. Every single year we have to do that, and I was told that just when this agenda came out, that's the protocol within county and how we do that, because there's only two departments that really directly answer the Board of Supervisors. That's County Council and then the CEO. And then you'll see the conference with labor negotiators. That's in there as well. I want to be able to, in time, bring more and more items out of closed session and into the public, because, you know, one of the things that we also know, and everybody hears it says, you know, there's no reportable action, so we'll leave closed session. And people say, well, you guys were in there talking for quite a while, and there was no reportable action. What did you guys talk about? And I think the public has a right to, you know, at least know some of what that discussion was taking place, because I'm told during COVID, and I don't know this because I had a constituent from District 1 email me and ask me some questions about closed session and about if I would look back into all the closed sessions during COVID. Not that they were asking me to find out information, but they were just saying, hey, look at how many closed session item agendas there were during COVID, and it was like most of the board meetings seemed to be in closed session. Like, I don't know. I didn't substantiate that, but I do know it's frustrating for people that are paying attention, especially to an item or two, to be kind of left out in the dark. And that's why, honestly, I do a radio show, and that's why I post as much as I can on my personal page with what is going on. I want to keep the public engaged. I want to keep people asking questions. I want people to call out injustices if they see them. And again, and it's led to quite a few things that this board has looked into and continues to look into. I will leave with this as Christmas is approaching. If you haven't had a chance yet to, I think I'm gonna talk about that on my next show. But the last thing I want to say is, starting on Sundays of next year, what I'm gonna start doing is I'm gonna start posting every Sunday on my Vote Kevin Cry page a breakdown of our agendas and what's coming, because at the end of the board meetings, I'm doing, I always do a 5 or 10 minute recap of what happened. So what I'm going to start doing is on Facebook, I'll be posting a video on Sunday morning. Sometimes it'll be recorded, sometimes it'll be live, and it will be a rundown of what is coming for that meeting for that week. And then at the end of the meeting, I'll post a quick recap. So I'm going to try and get those down to about 15 to 30 minutes, so that way people can become more and more engaged, because I'm going to be bringing forth all of the items or objectives that I want as chair of 2024 for the Board of Supervisors, objectives that I really want to focus on and some things I want to accomplish, and I'm going to make that very, very public. So with Christmas coming up this next weekend, if you haven't had a chance to go out to Hawes Farm and look at their lights, I would encourage you to do that. It's actually very, very affordable, very reasonable. Turtle Bay still has their garden lights, not as affordable, but that's okay. I would still say, you know, if you can do it, go. We've taken, I don't know, hundreds of kids with the camps we do. I would encourage you to, again, spend as much time with your kids as you can at this time of year, and really make sure they understand what the whole purpose of the season is about. And it's not about gifts. It's not about anything but really giving. But honestly, it's really about the birth of Jesus Christ. And get that foundationally drilled into yourself and in the kids, because that is the greatest gift. That is the gift that is eternal. And, one other thing, too, Pathway Church at 1, 3, and 5 today has its Christmas production. It's really by far the best family event, I believe, in Shasta County, because it is completely free. And, they start rehearsing, late summer for it. So it usually is absolutely packed. They do, I think, one service or one one show on Friday night, three on Saturday, three on Sunday. So there's no traditional Sunday services today. They instead have the performances at 1, 3, and 5 today, and that's 777 Loma Vista. And that's why I love having my own show. I can talk about whatever I want, faith-based or not, doesn't matter, because I have no paid sponsors. I pay the big bill of, I don't know, a couple hundred bucks or whatever it is, a show or for the month. So, Christina, you have...